Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrits, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and are having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Welcome to a very special presentation of the Comic Syndicate episode, San Diego Comic-Con 2019 edition. Alright guys, this is going to be strictly interview-based. I got to interview the cast of The Impractical Jokers. Their ninth season renewal got announced at San Diego Comic-Con. We got to interview them. So we got to interview James Murray, Joe Gatto, Sal Volcano, and fortunately was out for personal reasons, although I believe he was there for the announcement and panel, which I think we got these interviews early on Friday. My days were all jumbled anyways. And Brian Q. Quinn. I know Brian Quinn probably before any of these other guys because I listen to Tell Him Steve Dave. They're friends of Kevin Smith and they have their podcast. And it's three guys. Two of them were from Comic Book Man, but the shit they talk about is really dope. If you guys are a fan of that show, of just the Impractical Jokers at all, if I have to explain what the Impractical Jokers are, you guys, okay, look, I don't watch a lot of TV in my life right now, or actually I just don't in general. Sports I do watch. I don't consider sports watching TV, so any smart acts that think, well, but you're watching TV, it's like, no, dickhead, I've played sports. A sport is a sport. And if you're going to look at it that way, like technicalities, really, play a fucking sport. Like it's just a thing where TV, though, episodic, anything, I don't watch at all. Like, I don't. I love cinema. I love movies, directors, writers, everything, composers. But to watch a TV show episodically, no. The last time I did it was for Breaking Bad. In that vein, this is one of the shows that I love watching. Because if it's ever on, if I have any downtime, or if I'm writing, if I'm doing something, I like putting it to have background music or sports playing on in the background. Because it's, you don't have to watch any of these in sequential orders. It's just four best friends that make each other do things on these dares. And at the end, whoever lost the most dares has to, they get dared to do something stupid at the end of the show and fucked up, and it's dope, and I love it, the friend aspect of it. Like, if I ever write anything proper, well, I'm writing a bunch of things, but if I ever write, finish a script and I'm going to direct it, or if I'm able to make it, everyone and their mother is going to be in it. Like, all my friends and their mothers literally are going to be in it. All right, I'm going to need your girl. I'm going to be a fucking gangster right now. And yeah, you mean a gangster? Yeah. And your grandpa's going to be a prostitute. And just so I can get everyone involved. I know I'm weird. Those weren't the first go-tos in the stories. But these guys are dope, rad, awesome, down-to-earth, fun and funny. I love these guys. They make me laugh. Some of the things they do, especially on the mission aspects, are very cringe-worthy. But I think that's why I like it. Like, I think I'm 98%. Ballsy enough to do 98% of these things initially. And then there are some where it's like, I'm ballsy, but wow, this one sucks. Like, poor guy. So yeah, offending people, I guess is what it is. Just weird shit. Look it up. Find one up if you guys haven't seen the show. If you guys have seen the show, I love the fuck out of it. So yeah, the sound quality on this, let me explain. This one was not a round table where the cast is with you and they jump table to table. This was more of a conference room interview portion section where you literally are in with a bunch of people and you raise your hand one by one and they're calling off questions and they're pointing. It's like, all right, you go. If you guys haven't heard one of my interviews before, I haven't done of these conference room ones in a while. So it's not a round table. But if you guys like the Impractical Jokers, here's one for you guys. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. And hit up the guys on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, wherever you want. Tell them you heard them on the Comic Syndicate podcast. All right, without further ado, here you guys go. The cast of The Impractical Jokers, James Murray, Joe Gatto, and Brian Q. Quinn.
Lou.
What's up?
Hi, everyone.
Oh!
Hey, how
are you?
Good to see you. What's up, everybody? How are we doing? Hello, hello. Oh, this is a hot one, right? Thank you all for coming to Fireside Chats.
I love Fireside Chats.
And whoever wants to kick it off,
I'll go for it.
Go for it, Brittany. Thank you.
So, let me ask you guys, 6 seasons in, how do you figure out how to keep the...
But the challenges are the same.
You're always evolving the show, and even individual games are evolving. What's the process that you guys go through to say, hey, maybe we need to tweak this, or maybe it's time to introduce something new? How do you decide each season?
I'm going to shoot you straight, Britt. When you started the question, I thought it was going to be a shit show, but you nailed the landing. So this is fair.
I actually think you've thought about it more than we have. Just to answer that question.
We start every season. You want to tell a little bit about the process?
At the beginning of every season, we take like a couple weeks to just to kind of look at what worked in the last season, what we love to do, and then we decide whether we want to do certain games again and how we want to spin it. And we always kind of have a top line idea of like, all right, this is a new area we want to go into. We said from like day one, if the show's not advancing or pushing, we would stop doing it. Yeah. And that's our challenge, is to keep it relevant all the time.
The format is fun of the show that is both challenging and liberating, is that when you do a joke inside of a challenge, you might realize that that joke could be its own challenge.
Yep.
So we'll have some fun where sometimes, like I think even very beginning, in the very early beginnings, we told Q in season one IFB just to hold somebody's hand and not let go. And then that became one of the challenges we did 3 or 4 times because it was just so weird and awkward. So that's part of the fun of it too. You'll find something that makes sense. Brian and I's water is here.
Thank you, Shay. Thank you. Say hi, Shay.
Stay hydrated.
Shay works on the show.
Hey,
you guys know Shay works on the show, right? I'm gonna tack on to that and say that sometimes when I show up to set, I don't even know what we're doing today. And I have to ask Shay. I have to go, what are we doing today? And then she tells me, and then it happens like that.
Comedy gold.
Comedy gold. Gotta keep it, you know.
You never know what cue you're gonna get shows on the set.
It's very funny. Sometimes I wake up in a bad mood.
We're only required to deliver 25% of the funny.
That's right.
So that's it. You know, you gotta deliver 30 seconds at most. You'll be like,
yeah. I can do that. Yeah. I can deliver 30 seconds of funny. That's funny, right? So all I gotta do is worry about that sweet spot.
That's it.
Yeah.
35 seconds, it's over.
Well, I think I got a good 15, and they're screwing that up at the beginning.
There you go. Great. Don't even worry about it. That was the best.
Great. Yes, you're in the back.
Sir, in the back.
Yeah, the bloke.
How do you guys deal with when you come up with an idea and then you go to do it in a situation and it's just not working? So how do you kind of rebound from it?
I get pissed off. What we'll do is, like, if we're out there and we're trying to get it to go and something that you just can't cut it go, we'll just swap out and try again later.
Yeah.
It's gonna happen.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. We'll Q will come out or I'll come out if I'm just not feeling something, and we'll go back in like a half hour later. That helps a lot because you got to reset your head. And sometimes you get caught up in why something's not working. You go,
right.
What do I do? That helps a lot.
It's harder when it happens with a full challenge like the other day.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we filmed something the other day that on paper was gonna be hysterical. It's called Angry Mob Debate.
I thought it worked.
Well, that's where we disagree. But
actually,
it was so bad that it actually kind of worked anyway. So we'll make anything, because even when it doesn't work, it's still our idea, right? We tried it. And either 50% of us are behind it, or 50% or not, we'll just go. So sometimes it's either going to fail miserably and be fun to watch to fall apart because the other guys are going to make fun of it, or it's going to just fail terribly, and then we'll just all laugh at how
bad. Here's the thing. Just the nature of our friendship, I end up usually going first. Joe usually ends up going fast because it takes Sal and I the longest to do the challenge.
So the normal order is Sal.
Yeah,
Sal
and
Maria, Sal and Joe.
And you know, it goes faster and faster. And in that challenge, like, I went first. And again, on paper, I was a big fan of it. And after my first turn, I went like 3 or 4 times. First turn, I was like, oh, this is not going to work.
And we still have 75% of it.
Yeah, but I think it's not like an episode of X-Files where if it's a dud, it's a dud. Like, if it's going south, we have the luxury of letting you guys in on it.
Right.
Of being like, this sucks, and making that a joke on itself.
Yeah, the funny will come from somewhere
else.
Yeah,
like it'll just come up because Sal, for whatever reason, was a clown makeup. And he's miserable, and the bit's failing. And that's funny.
That's funny to everybody.
So, you know, we get away with a little bit more.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
So, you guys...
New day?
Yes. Did you make the panel earlier? Did you see
I just got here like an hour ago. I missed it.
So, you bounced back. show. Have you ever been on stage and went, you're doing a bit and go, this might actually work in the show too, or vice versa?
Yeah, we in one of our tours, we actually had an idea to film.
Because we shoot videos.
Videos for the.
We show videos on stage from a live tour.
Yeah, that's part of the draw of the live shows. You can only see exclusive hidden videos, hidden camera videos that we film just for the live show. Can't see them anywhere else. You can see them only once on that tour. So one of the ones that we did in the last tour, in the Santiago Centers tour, was actually an idea for Jokers. We were filming it on, and we couldn't be edgy enough with it. And we were like, you know what, let's go full tilt and make it edgy and get the best comedy out of it, but it's going to be a little bit not safe for TV, if you will. Like it was more than 16, more like the 16 over, where we try to keep our... Yeah, so we took it, and we actually filmed that bit, and we took that and we put it on a live show. Yeah, so it's something added to the origin where we thought it would work for the show. It didn't, but we were like, you know what, this is great for the live show.
What's the hardest punishment you've had to get through? I think of Murr's time at Tumblr.
Murr, I will say this about James. I will say many things about him, but I will say this.
Only say one pertinent question, though.
We, no matter what, if you think it's going to be the most uncomfortable situation in the world, that's where he shines. It's great to see him where other people squirm, he shines. And I'll say that about him every day. It really is. I mean, and that like a boss thing. We were in, remember we were in a conference room around the corner with sound blinds. We couldn't be loud. We had to be quiet because we were literally in the, we invaded this office space. And it got so awkward. And so I was so, that the two guys in front of him, when they turned around, I was like, is there going to be a fight in the office right now? Like a guy, we never thought it would even go that way because it's an office, you're at work. And one guy was ready to murder him.
I'm good at instigating fights.
I think my worst punishment was tarantula, but I just watched the California episode and it was so hard to watch.
It's hard.
We have a Universal episode coming up, and the punishment is, it's insane.
Yeah.
I don't even want to ruin it, but it might be the worst thing.
I think that was definitely a top
tough to watch.
My favorite for you, though, was the cake punishment. We had a Hugh posing as a judge at this cake baking competition. And these are serious bakers. They're competing to get into the big cake building competition in New York City. And he walks around with a "Hi, my name is Judge" kind of shirt.
Hi, my name is Judge. hand-wrote Judge. So it's credible. It's credible.
And we told him he had to just go destroy the cakes one by one as he's judging them, right? Oh, so he's leaving a trail of destruction behind him. And after he finishes smushing the last cake, we tell him to take the badge off. He's actually a contestant.
Yeah.
In the same competition as the other people.
So he doesn't stand at table number three amongst everybody else. And the real judges come out and have to start explaining how this other judge ruined stuff. And like, what other judge? There are producers. And they're all pointing at Brian, and he's like,
I was wrong. and the way that punishment came about, to talk to the process for a second, was I came up with an idea where I was like, all right, what if we took an action figure and baked it into a wedding cake or birthday cake or whatever, and then the punishment was one of us had to go out there and at a charity event get with a bunch of cakes, put our hand in the cakes and find which one to ruin them.
Yeah.
And everybody was not too hot on the joke. He goes, I got some. I was like, what? He goes, I'm not telling you the truth. So it was my idea, and Joe turned it against me, and that's how that came out. Yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah. The punishment process is fun because sometimes it's like that, or other times it's like we'll just be sitting in a room and they're like, what if we make you a massage chair? Well, what's the point? Like, people sit on you and you have to shake. I'm like, great. So those kind of things happen. Yes.
What's the movie update, guys?
Great question. If you hear anything, let us know.
Yeah. We got messed up a little bit in the AT&T. AT&T bought Turner, bought our bosses, bought us. They brought in new management, and new management has new ideas, so they're working at all that.
Yeah.
But the movie's hysterical, and...
The cut's locked. It's great.
Yeah, it's finished beginning of this year, so hopefully you'll see it soon. And we all got free AT&T wireless off of it, too.
I should write. And all of you guys here as well.
Yeah.
No, you're not. Yeah. Sorry.
So hopefully we'll have some news in the next couple months.
Yeah, I think it's going to be... There'll be new shortly.
We are super excited about it. It's very difficult for us to sit on it.
Yeah,
same.
The movie has in it a couple of mini spoilers. Up until the movie, the most embarrassing moment of my life was the death of Danica McKellar punishment. They beat that. My best friends beat that. It was the most embarrassing moment.
We actually went back to, because there's a lot of stuff that we always thought, like, oh, that'd be great to do, but we wouldn't sit on top of it because time, budgets, things like that, you wouldn't be able to do it right.
And then when we got the movie, we literally like, took out the old notebook. And we got like four or five ideas we always, always wanted to do. We were able to do in the movie. So it's really good.
8 seasons in. Have you guys thought about maybe just
six seasons.
doing writing and having new blood come in?
Well, here's the thing with the show is that everybody just
put myself out of the job.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, the thing is really just the ability to make each other laugh, genuinely how we make each other laugh, and that's what people are witness to, and I think that's a big part of the show. There's been other versions of the show that have failed miserably because it's not you know, it's not even us, but it's strangers trying to be friends on television. And I think a lot of people need to, you're part of the friendship if they're a viewer.
Yeah, people ask us sometimes, oh, can I be in your show? Can I audition in your show? Like, we'd have to go back in time 30 years and become friends with us, and, you know. And I think a lot of it, too, is at its core, the show is really ultimately an improv show, right?
Oh.
And we don't know how people are going to react in any situation. We can plan and think of jokes in advance, but ultimately we don't know what's going to happen. And that's where I think our history together and our background as an improv group really shines.
Yeah, the network really feels that. I remember when last season five, I'm making funny, I think it's great.
It's okay.
Season five, like I had I had to make a decision whether I was going to go back to the flying department or stay with the TV show. And we had asked True, like, well, what happens if I leave the show and it's the three guys? And True's statement was like, we think it's got to be all four. If any one of you left the show, we don't know if it would work anymore. So, I mean, that's, you know, I think we agree with that at this point. I mean, I'm sure another cast can make the show, but I have no interest in seeing that, you know. Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing a version with all women. See how that plays
out.
Or
kids.
Kids
might
be
good, too.
Kids
might
be good, too. It can't just be
four
dudes. I would want to see a different
version. We did actually start to use kids a lot in our show. Like, a big thing talking about, like, how we keep it fresh about 3 seasons ago. We were always like, we want the show to be real. We want to use actors to make it better, to make some of the jokes land. But we don't want people to think that our show is fake, because it's not. To its core, it's us. If people recognize us, we move them along. And then Brian was like, well, it's fine if you just explain to the audience that these people are actors. So you'll notice in some of our intros, like one of the first ones we did was we had a fake grandpa in the mall. I don't know if you remember that one, where we had these guys who were posing to be our grandfathers that we had to leave. Somebody had to watch them for us. We had to convince people to watch your grandfathers as you ran to the bathroom. And then they had an earpiece in, and the other guys just messed with whoever was watching your grandpa, the Good Samaritan. And we're like, we want to do that. We're like, well, we need an actor. We're like, so we just have to explain it to the audience. And once we crack that code, we're like, we could use actors. It's fun. And whenever we use kids, it's always, always just like, you never know what they're going to say. We don't even tell them to say half the time. It's just fun to watch them be kids.
Somebody, you know that new face app that everybody's going crazy about this week, right? They you know, aged us and we look like we're 78 years old. And it says, like, in Practical Jokers season 32.
It's actually season 9.
But that is something I found really interesting, is I love how you're evolving the crew more. We're getting to see the personalities of your crew members. I think my favorite one is when you guys say, how are we supposed to know if Troy Chan is Chinese? And out of nowhere, you go, wait a minute, hold on, I have a thing. And, so, I mean, how has that been for you guys? So I think for us as fans, it's been really fun to get to see their personalities and see some of them.
We agree that we've wanted to do that for a long time.
Day one, when we pitched the first season, we said we wanted the crew to be part of it from there, before we even knew who the crew were. And the network early on said they didn't like it, and then as we got more creative control, we were able to, because these guys have been singing, you guys know that shade by now. It's just,
the thing with the show is the show seems, it still to this day, even 8 seasons in, still seems like a kind of a grassroots show. Like, it's the four of us, it's kind of sloppy, it's kind of dirty, it's kind of messy, and so you should see all of our crew and the friends around us that are helping build the show. I love bringing them.
Because you also can't, it's hard to hide them, too, because everyone is laughing and having a good time, and we're in the room with 40 people, so if they're all laughing, it's like, who the hell making all this noise? I remember when we did the Cake Boss episode when we worked in Hoboken, and everybody over a joke absolutely lost it, and it was just in that room, we were like, turn the camera, people have to see this, and it was just everybody just laughing and having a good time. So they're as much part, and they work hard, you know, they work hard to make the show, so you might as well.
Some of the good points, too, like, the what Jokers kind of does is it reinvents the soundtrack, right? You know, in the old days, you hear this canned laughter applause from an audience that doesn't, you never really see or exists. We own it, you see it, you laugh with us because you're seeing us laugh, but the whole crew's laughing around us, so why not make it bigger and more real?
Plus, we love them. Would it be be the same show without him.
Most of them are better looking than us.
You got to see Chase.
Yes. By the word most, I mean all. I'm trying to say most because Sal.
The four least likely guys are the
Who haven't we heard from?
Yes.
You said it's an improv. Those scenes when it hits the fan, how fast is your crew there to like get you out of a situation? Because I know
it would be nice if they showed up once. To be honest,
we're going to get each other out of it.
Yeah.
It rarely hits the fan.
Yes.
It really does. I can count one or two times in 8 years that it's actually done that. And they react pretty quickly. Yeah. But the best part of about it being an improv show and being the nature of the show that we have is that if we have an idea, literally last second, we have an idea 3 minutes before, and somebody runs to go grab it and makes it happen immediately. It's that fast.
Oh,
so that not just for bad situations, for great situations.
The other day, we were shooting in Hollywood, and it was a throw. Joe went first, rare Joe went first turn, and there was a joke on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, the stars, and I was like, oh my God, I wish I had thought to have a fake Walk of Fame star made. By the time I went, they had a full fake Hollywood star made that they laid down for me. They're just insane. Yeah, they're the best. The best. Oh, Turk comes in.
We'll wait.
It's all right.
I was curious. You mentioned you wanted to be relevant. We were living in a hot political climate.
Yeah.
So you don't want it to get stale and you don't want it to be dated. So do you edit for that so that it's.
We don't touch politics.
No.
Okay.
We always kind of thought of the show as like it's this wonderful island you go to escape the insanity of the world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
I think the show really has this, a very pure heart, which is why it stays relevant.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's I do think it's important to just stay away from that. People need that.
They do.
People need that, and I'll tell you what I'm not good at is understanding what the hell's going on in the world.
Me
neither. What I am good at is 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like I'm fine with that being my contribution. We have noticed like when events happen in the city that people find upsetting, it is tough to shoot that day. People need a sense of humor to take part of the show, and then when these events go on that people get upset about,
film. We were filming the day after Election Day in New York City.
What a mistake.
Yeah, that was a big mistake.
Nobody. Everybody was screaming at us, yelling at us.
Yeah.
So
I think you just have to... You have to keep, you have to remember. And it's not even that. Like, sometimes people just aren't in the mood for it.
Yeah.
So,
you weren't there when the lights went out.
No.
Okay.
No, it was on Staten Island.
Yeah.
My lights were fine.
His lights went on extra bright.
Staten Island. Those ones are strange things. That was fun.
Staten Island is the island. It's kind of pure
hot. Yeah.
Yes. How often do you guys get recognized while filming, if ever?
Always. It's not a problem because we'll fish out people that recognize us because no one's good at hiding it at all. People are like, we'll see them on hidden camera too. Like, people come in and they're like, and they'll walk up to sound and like, one cheeseburger, please. Like, robots. So it doesn't work. But bigger for that, the harder part for us is when we're engaging. Like, if you and I are doing a bit right now, off to the side, someone will recognize me and I'm in the middle of trying to get you to, put me on your shoulders. And somebody comes flying over, like, Joe, I love it. And they come over and they're like, hey. And before if they don't get intercepted by production, you have to justify who this person is to get a stranger. And they'll walk away because they'll realize you're working. And they're like, oh, is that? I'm his pharmacist. So anyway, you have to make up these stories. So it's like, oh, good to see you again. And you're hugging me and you whisper near, get out of here, we're working.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, oh, okay. And they'll hide. So, yeah, that's the hard
part. People get staring on it, they get it.
Yeah. But it's also great. Like, it's also terrible and great. Like, I'll tell you two stories real quick. One, I'm in Target looking for paper towels. Don't know where they are. I say to the woman, excuse me, do you know where the paper towels are? She goes, oh, no, Joe. You're not getting me. And walks away. Like, I'm filming in Target. Like, she doesn't know that I'm not there. Like, I just need any freaking paper towels. The other side of that is sort of if you want to like, just mess with people and whatever, and people are like, come up and like, oh, Joe. Like, sometimes I like to go, shh. And they're like, it's like fun to do that.
It also gives us we can get away with murder. In murder, we can just take anything from the store. I'm not condoning stealing. Please, come on. Like, you go to a store, you grab a muffin, you're like, aha! I'm like, ah, he's breaking it! Mark Bradley, he stole a muffin!
In the past 5 years, I haven't walked into a store with Joe where he doesn't go, what's the discount I'm getting? The second he walks into a store, what's the discount?
Let's go.
People, like, look up. They don't know what's going on. What?
It's even more fun when people don't know who I am.
And he gets us the discount.
And I get discount anyway, yeah. It's awesome. He likes to go shopping with me.
Ladies first.
Since we are at Comic-Con, what's one of the shows that you just have a fanboy moment?
Oh, I cannot wait. We have the thing at Petco Park.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get out of it for now to go see What We Do in the Shadows, their panel, because that, to me, is one of the best shows of television. The Rick and Morty, like, I'm excited to do all these things.
We filmed our 200th episode in L.A. About 2 weeks ago. While we were there, we got to see The Good Place set.
Yeah.
And we fanboyed out. Oh my God. And I know they have a big activation here in town this week, too.
Yeah. Marvel's Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. All this stuff is happening when we have stuff.
I know.
What do we talk to?
All I want to do is go to
Yeah. I walked by the Brooklyn. Did you see the Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
No.
Activation was awesome. Yeah. I didn't get there. But I didn't get to walk around. I got in this morning. He was doing other panel stuff, so I didn't get to walk around. So I walked around a little bit. But I'm excited to see the Brooklyn Nine-Nine one as well.
I got in trouble during that one.
That doesn't surprise me. Right?
What'd you do?
I don't
want to spoil it, but you're supposed to be in teams working with people. And so my boss and I are on the same team. And I'm very, very competitive. So I just start screaming directions. Even the actor that was with us is like, no, listen to her. She does what she's doing. And I'm like, from my boss, like, I'm so sorry. I just started yelling at you. He's like, I don't even care.
Yeah, it looks fun.
Everything
it
is James S. Murray.
Life
is James S. Murray.
It is. Signed by my friends.
So with that, can you tell us about your new book?
The new book? Thanks, man. Awakens came out last summer. It's part of a trilogy. The Brink just came out 2-3 weeks ago, and the guys were there for the launch. I'm super appreciative of that. And it's a thriller. It takes place a year after the first book. The mayor of New York City on the hunt for the evil mastermind behind all these crazy world events, these creature attacks. And it's good versus evil. There's a dose of Nazis in there. There's lots of great love story. There's lots of great action.
A Nazi love story. Not many books will give you a Nazi love story.
And book three, and we hit a couple bestseller lists last week. And book three comes out next June as well.
What do you have to say about the review saying that the second book is not as good as the first?
That was one person.
Is that true?
I didn't read it.
There was one review, and this is true. I have not spoken to him about this until right now, and I know that he's seen it. One guy goes off on Mar about, oh, the second book is not as good as the first, blah, 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 and I know that you've seen it.
Yeah, but the user posted it. His name was S. Volcano. No, you know, people said season two sucked.
That's true.
It's the only one who thinks that they did it bother me?
What is
it?
That's good that you brought that up.
I love it.
We were
book two's back.
Do you have another panel now? You have a book panel?
I had a book panel today, a horror panel, and just zombies.
Just zombies.
Isn't it true you almost got into a fist fight with Joe Hill on the last panel?
No.
That's the rumor I heard.
Not
Stephen King's son. I heard the two of you almost got into the blow.
We did not. He was a lovely guy, and we were on the same panel.
That's not true. I just made that. I'm trying to spread things around. I
try to spread as many rumors as we can.
I heard Joe Hill called you a motherfucker. You were swinging at him.
Yes,
that is true. Okay,
I took swing, but I missed, so no.
Okay,
no,
so
no,
it's all fucked. Oh, I wish we lived in the world where that happened.
We need to start rumors.
It sounds like Joker's goes down because I beat the shit out of Stephen King's son, right?
I also love that we refer to him as Stephen King's son. He's like such a...
Yeah,
that's good. What? I forgot we were here.
Oh, sorry.
What are we doing?
Yes.
Yes.
That should be on the show.
TV talking about no, like actually making a show.
Yeah, we're in negotiations to do it. Yeah.
Are you really?
Are you really?
That's awesome. No,
it's going to be Joe Gatto and Joe Hill.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I like it a lot. People really respond to it.
Don't you think it's dangerous for you to put on a full show while you're driving a vehicle? Has nobody brought this up to this guy?
What about Carpool Karaoke?
Yeah,
that's a production.
Yeah.
That's a whole thing.
So is mine.
Yeah, this is you driving like
that's
this.
All you need.
This is you.
No, it's
that's
mounted.
Dangerous.
It's mounted. I don't know. True clarity. I've almost gotten 3 accidents, but no, it's going well. It's fun. People like it. I'm on episode 72 now.
Oh my gosh.
I'm doing my first live show in New York.
Yeah, this August. Come on out.
We're doing it on the cruise, which is where I started. I did it live on the cruise, which I use the DJ as my radio, so it's kind of fun. We're doing it on this cruise again. So,
when is the show, Joey? August
17th.
17th.
When is the cruise?
The cruise is February 10th to the 14th in Miami. And that's sold out. We got a couple cabins left back now.
Oh,
Right, Jack?
Right.
Yes.
So you guys have had a couple pro wrestlers on the show.
Yes.
Dreamer.
Yeah, I was on the Jericho Cruise.
Jericho Cruise. Okay. All right. And now, are you all fans of? I know you are. I always see you in a wrestling
no,
show.
No, it's set, that we leave that up to Sal and Q.
Yeah.
Well, Murray's a big fan of the old school. Like your knowledge goes deep for the back.
In my apartment right now, I have drawers full of all the original action figures. Remember from the '80s, we had the whole Rain
block.
Back
was
you're a fan of toys. You're a fan of toys.
No, I was a huge WWF fan in the '80s.
Yeah.
Massive in the '90s.
Yeah, but it's like
2019. I know, but now it's 2019.
But I love that. It's the best.
Were you a Hogan guy?
Oh, come on. Yeah, of course. Roddy Piper.
He had the Hogan workout kit.
Yeah, Pad was
super hot.
I was such a bad guy. How do you feel about Hogan?
Now,
yeah.
Like I'm adult, Rob. I have trouble separating Terry and Hulk.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can't deny its place in history.
Yeah, I felt, because I was at WrestleMania when he came out.
Yeah.
And I was, like, looking around. I was like, how's this going over? I don't know. I hear, like, some people are like, hey, he's apologized. And other people are like, he has apologized enough.
Right.
So I'm curious how you feel about that.
Yeah, there's, I mean, so, obviously, I'm not there. I've read a few things that, you know, there's been a couple of the locker room.
I know Big E wasn't too happy with him.
Right, right. So, and personally, again, I still struggle with that.
Yeah.
You know, that was the guy I idolized him. But at the same time, because I like the heels better, I think I always like Macho Man a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right. So,
I still listen to that Macho Man rap. It's unbelievable where he's calling out Hogan. I'm like, it's unbelievable.
It's the best. You should check out, there's a show on Vice. You should check out Dark Side of the Ring.
Okay, I'll check it out. Dark Side of the Ring.
One of the first episodes was Macho Man and Hogan.
They lived on Staten Island for a long time.
You know, there's after this, we all have aspirations to do different things. And my aspiration for Q, and I think it's partly his too, but I'm going to push him into it, is to become a manager in wrestling.
Yeah, but a heel manager.
A heel manager.
I love that. On the Jericho Cruise, I created a heel persona. I put my hair in a faux hawk.
Oh,
I wore like a shirt then. I was called Brian Abrasive. And I started the ABO, the Abrasive, AWO, the Abrasive World Order. The fans started making AWO shirts. So I'm all right. Brian Abrasive's ready to go.
All right. Let's see. As soon as we get canceled.
Good day.
Can you guys talk about what are you guys doing tonight? What's this panel about?
Tonight is it's actually being moderated by one of our friends and legend, Tom Kennedy, the voice of SpongeBob. Yeah, we actually met him here, and it blew our minds that he knew who the hell we were, right? We met him at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Comic-Con's always fun because of the bump into factor, which is so much fun for us that we're able to, you know, so much has happened actually in this room. Outside this room, Sal showed his Jaden tattoo to Jaden Smith. Right out there. Jaden Smith was on for After Earth. He was doing press in here, and we saw that it was him, and we like stalked him. And Sal ran up and dropped his pants in front of him. There's also a 6'4" bodyguard. And the guy's like, what? He's like, I got you on this.
Yeah.
And he showed the Jane Smith. But here is where we met Tom Kenny, and we instantly hit it off when we went to dinner with him that year, right?
Yeah.
And really great guy, and he'll actually moderate. And as you know, he's taking fan questions as well from the people there. And we actually have a couple announcements as well. We can't say anything yet. Read the papers tomorrow.
We'll
yeah,
be talking about, of course, the 200th episode of Joker's coming up, and we'll be talking about our new show, The Misery Index. It starts this soon on TBS.
Am I a part of these announcements?
There's a big one that you should really worry about. Tune in next season to see three Jokers. It's going to be a great show.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I think we have time for like two or three more questions.
Oh, yes.
What's it like when you have like the surprise celebrity guest? Or punishment or Gary Busey popping in and finding things out.
Yeah.
What's that like for you guys, and how does that get put together?
Sometimes it's a secret from each other. You know, sometimes we'll use them as use people as a weapon. Busey as a weapon spawn. But like in LA, when we just did our 200th episode in LA, and we knew there we were in Hollywood, so we'd have some fun. So we have probably one of our creative one of our favorite cameo bits that we actually used a couple of celebrity cameos in, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we have another one. He put it online already. So
maybe, he did.
Yeah, so we got Jay and Silent Bob in it, and they're in like Kevin and Jay are in characters. Jay and Silent Bob. It was a real moment.
Yeah.
It was great. Because it's weird because like I don't want to give away what they're doing, but like they're coming at you. And like you look at it, and suddenly you're in this weird world where Jay and Silent Bob are like coming at you with pressure. And you're like, oh my God, like how did this happen? It's amazing. It works
a couple different ways. Sometimes we'll reach out to a celebrity if we hear they're a fan of the show, or sometimes they'll reach out to us, or we'll meet them in like this kind of thing setting, and they'll say we want to be part of the show. And sometimes we play in secrets, like Danica Keller. I had no clue when I walked in that they knew her, were talking to her, that she was a fan. So it was, I was completely blindsided. So it kind of works like that.
So I saw you pop up in the trailer for Jay and Bob.
Reboot, yeah, I shot a day on that.
So is there any talk about an Impractical Joker movie?
Well, we shot one. It's just not out yet. Yeah, so there was a lot of talk about it. Yeah, but that was a fun shoot. Yes, I was in New Orleans. It was pretty cool.
I checked New Orleans.
I went to New Orleans for a day. Yeah, it was great.
There's one for Brian.
Yep.
There was an episode where the guy's punishing with spiders, and it seems like you were really seriously pissed off.
100%.
Have you thought of the punishment for each of the guys yet?
Yes. Well, I got Sal. I put kittens on.
That was great.
And
he was as scared with kittens as Q was with deadly spiders.
And, well, something actually didn't work out. That punishment was supposed to be a little different. There's this cat called a Savannah cat, which is, it's about this high. It looks like something that'll kill you in the woods, but it's not. It's domesticated.
It's a house cat.
No way.
But it's people walk them on leashes. It looks like a Great Dane of cats.
That's right.
It looks like a bobcat.
Bobcat.
So we had it set up that at the end, a Savannah cat was going to come in, and Sal has no idea what a Savannah cat is. But that morning, the woman was like, I can't bring the cat. It's not feeling well. But it worked out anyway, because Sal's such a wimp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That it worked out.
I like that he was wearing his kittens.
When I made him chop through his daughter's photo, it was that one. And that actually reminds me that I haven't really gotten...
You know what?
Yeah, so keep an eye on season... next question. Second half of season 8, you'll see
some.
That was the cast of the Impractical Jokers, guys. I hope you liked that interview. If you guys do like them and are a fan of them, the new season starts on August 8th on True TV. It's a great show. These guys, again, were great, down-to-earth, funny, legit, way cool cats, dude. Somebody asked for a selfie, and they're like, you know what, why don't we just do this? We're going to hang out with you guys. So if you guys want a selfie, start a line, and we can just get you guys all in one shot. Very cool. They didn't have to do that. So follow me at comic_syndicate. That picture's up. And yeah, interesting pictures on there, guys. All right. If you guys like the podcast, share the podcast in iTunes. Subscribe to the podcast in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. All right, guys. This is going to get tossed out really soon prior to the release of the next season of Impractical Jokers. Thank you to James Murray, Joe Gatto, and Brian Q. Quinn. For everything, you guys were dope. All right, I'll catch you guys next week. Peace out.